This episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks is brought to you by Game Day Nutrition. Recently opened in Five Points, Game Day Nutrition is Columbia's premier stop for protein shakes, clean energy teas, and even protein iced coffee. During football season, it's even more important to take care of our bodies and balance out what we do on Saturdays. So make sure to swing by Game Day Nutrition and support a local Columbia business and do your body some good. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 84 of Cox Talking Gamecocks, brought to you by Game Day Nutrition. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. But I don't know if I can keep that promise today, y'all, because it is game week. Game Day is here. Oh my goodness. It is the most wonderful time of the year. It's just unbelievable. I know I've said this a couple of times now, but it's unbelievable that it's here. Gamecock football is here. It's one of those deals where it just feels like it's so far away forever. And then you wake up one day and you're like, oh my God, it's tomorrow. It's this week. It truly does feel like Christmas. I have not been able to focus worth a damn at work all day this week, reading articles, looking at spreads, looking at the schedule of other games and everything like that. It's just unreal. Really, really so cool to see. And, you know, just looking back on it, it was about a year ago where I started this podcast. And it has been so fun to dive into Gamecock Twitter, Gamecock Instagram, and interact with so many of y'all and fans of this team that I love so much and means so much to me and everything that this university has given me. So just real quick, if you are a day one listener or you just found me yesterday, I appreciate you from the bottom of my heart. Big things still to come, but right now the focus is on this Saturday. That's all this episode is about here. During the football season, really during the athletic season, I should say, the Friday shows will be a week in review from across Gamecock Athletics, and then the Monday episodes will be catching up on any scores from the weekend. There really weren't any games going on this week. There's a couple that's going on later tonight as I'm recording, so I won't be able to report those scores. So you are stuck with me just for this opening game preview. It's unbelievable. I mean, what more can you ask for as an opening game? Week one, Saturday night, 7:30 kickoff in front of the home crowd in Williams-Brice. Weather looks, it's weird. It looks okay. I really can't tell. For someone who loves gambling, I would not want to take a pick on whether it's going to rain or not, because some days I look and it says it's going to rain pretty hard. Other days it's not so much. I guess there's a storm in the Atlantic that we're tracking, like we're freaking Columbus and trying to figure out if it's going to come to Williams-Brice. I have no idea, but I am so happy for all y'all who are going to be in Williams-Brice. I'm incredibly jealous of you, but so happy for all of us as it's back, and it just feels so good to be back. And there are lots of rumors and lots of early indications flying around that this game is set to be a sellout too, which is just unbelievable. I mean, obviously, any night game at Williams-Brice, but any opening game is going to have high energy. But, I mean, I can promise you last year against Eastern Illinois, that was not a sellout for a few reasons. But this game, a lot of hype, a lot of energy, a lot of excitement, a lot of buildup for this game. Sellout crowd at Williams-Brice is going to be unreal. I can only imagine the tailgates. It's, oh, what time do y'all like to start tailgating for a night game? Noon? 1? 10 a.m.? I don't know. It really all depends about where you're tailgating, but I mean, you know, cracking one at high noon, you know, just to get the engine prime. Obviously, you got to pace yourself there. Make sure to stay hydrated, but oh my gosh. But moving on to this game, I'm so excited. I'm just in my head about tailgating here. But this is it, y'all. This is where you put your money, where your mouth is, if you are this Gamecocks football program, right? All of the momentum we've had this offseason, all the fun videos on social media, all the praise that this staff and the players got for the job they did last year, that don't matter anymore, y'all. Can you turn all of that into wins? That's the question. And can you improve and show noticeable improvements from last year, right? Shane Beamer, he'll be the first one to tell you that winning six games is not the standard at USC. It was a great year, an off-the-charts year last year, given the circumstances. New coaching staff coming off two very bad seasons, and just not a lot of hope and optimism around the program. But that is not the standard. That was great for last year, but that is not the standard. And so moving towards that standard and earning more victories all starts now. So it's officially the start of the next chapter in the Beamer era, and it begins against Georgia State, right? I mean, year one, chapter one was getting that buy-in, proving himself a little bit, proving this staff a little bit, and everyone on that team last year did an incredible job. Now, we recognize Beamer as a good coach. We recognize him as being a good hire, a guy that gets it. But okay, you want to raise the bar at USC. You don't want to be fighting for a bowl eligibility, right? How do we improve upon that? But besides that, there's already several big storylines going into this game, just to make it all the more interesting, of course. First one, the big one, Sean Elliott. Welcome back to Williams-Brice. Sean Elliott, obviously a former coach at USC, was the O-line coach under Steve Spurrier, was the interim head coach when Spurrier retired mid-season all those years back, and was actually, I believe, yeah, he was retained for 1 year under Muschamp as the O-line coach. And I loved Sean Elliott. I loved his intensity. Players seemed to love him. It just didn't work out. His time as the interim goes on to Georgia State, and he's been doing some big things there. Going to get into that in a second here. But I guess he still lives in Columbia. Beamer was saying that sometimes they see Elliott's wife around town or something like that. So it's not really welcome home. It's just welcome back to Williams-Brice. Also, Jamias Williams, welcome back to Williams-Brice, plays for Georgia State. I was honestly shocked to learn that he was still playing college football, Jamias Williams. I truly was shocked to see that name. Had to double check that it was the Jamias. Plays running back now. Former safety D-back. Didn't really work out in the Muschamp era. Goes to Georgia State and, you know, is kind of thriving there, but I think he's in his sixth year or something like that. But welcome back, Jamias. And then Jordan Strawn, our defensive end, is going against his former team, had transferred out of Georgia State. So lots of familiarity all around makes it all the more interesting. And make no mistake about it, y'all, Georgia State is no joke, right? This is not your typical week one cupcake game. Every coach who has been at a press conference this week has said that. They've even said this team is not Eastern Illinois. Eastern Illinois just catching strays out here, but it's just a fact. Georgia State plays hard. They play physical, taking on that personality of Sean Elliott. And they have proven that they can hold their own against an SEC team. Talked about it in my season preview. They played Auburn last year at Auburn and only lost by 10, and it took a couple of miracle plays by Auburn to get it to that point. They finished 5th in the Sun Belt in offense, total offense, and 6th in the Sun Belt in total defense. They return a lot of starters, and bring back some upperclassmen, guys who have experience. Their quarterback is tall. I think he only threw like 4 picks last year. He's got a good arm. He can run well. Ran for about 600 yards or so last year. Very impressive. But their identity really is relying on that ground and pound type of game with Jamias Williams. They have another back or two that they like to rotate in, and they have a good running game and a very experienced offensive line. And to me, this does kind of feel like the type of game that maybe at halftime it's a little closer than we might like. Maybe it's a little closer than a lot of people would have imagined. And you got to come out of the gates firing, but got to believe that come the end of the game, we are on the right side of this thing. I think a lot of people are looking at the name and the conference at Georgia State and not taking into account that these teams can play hard, but I do believe this staff is well aware of that. I think not just in the past at USC, but in staffs on college football, sometimes the staffs don't take group of five teams seriously. I think this one, ours staff, that means, is taking it very seriously. But want to jump into my crows to the game here. For those of y'all who are new, I don't do keys to the game. Everyone does keys to the game. I do crows to the game. We have our rooster crow. So overall, for the team, be loose, have fun, and play your role, right? This is game one at home. You're finally playing someone else. You're not scrimmaging, everything like that. You don't want to play tight. You don't want to be in your head. Have a little fun. Play loose. You guys have practice. Year two on both sides of the system. You should know your role. And just execute. Just do your job. Execute. Don't make any silly mistakes. Now, moving to the offense, my first crow is establish a rhythm and do so early. Now, look, while it is year two under Satterfield for a lot of these guys, it's also the first year for some key players, a la quarterback, a la Spencer Rattler. And so you want to try and get in sync early. And also, if this offense is going to take a big step forward compared to last year, it needs to find that flow much better and create extended drives and dictate the pace of play for most of the games that we play in. At times last year, we saw flashes of that and it looked great, but we also saw plenty of sputtering last year. So going off that, you know, if we can move the chains early, maybe convert a third down or two, that will settle everybody down real well and ease the nerves for these first game. My second crow is convert in the red zone. So assuming that we can get in a good rhythm on offense, you would hope that the Gamecocks find themselves in the red zone several times on a Saturday night. And this was a point of concern last year, and it's been a point of emphasis this year, according to the coaches, but we have to score more touchdowns when you get in that area, period. You don't have to be perfect, right? But let's just say here, like, for example, if we get down there 4 times in the red zone, I'd like to see 3 scores. Right? Not perfect, but keeping a very high percentage like that, right? 70% you're scoring in this game. Because no offense to Georgia State, right? But if South Carolina wants to live up to some of these expectations out there for this season, this is going to be a crucial statistic to watch. And if you can't get it done against a Sun Belt team, however respectable they are, how can you expect to hit the road in the SEC and do better in the red zone? You have to start on the right foot in that regard on offense. Now, moving over to the defense here, my first crow to the game is slow down the Georgia State run game. It's well known that the run game is their strength, and with 2 returning starters and a bunch of guys on the line, it makes sense that they'd want to stick with that. It's a fair assumption in my mind. So this is the moment for our big guys in the middle to shine. I'm looking at Zach Pickens. He decided to come back to school for another year. Let's see that progression. We saw it last year, probably his best year at Carolina. Can he take another step? I'm looking at Boogie Huntley. Earned a starting spot. Let's see that. Let's see that progression, that development. And we have some of the best depth we've seen in a while in that interior defensive line, right? Can all those tackles take up space and slow these backs down? Now, also, our linebackers need to be on point for this. Last year, we saw a lack of depth affect this group at times, also dealing with a couple injuries there last year. Now, you got guys back. You have guys who are experienced in that group. Sherrod Green, Mo Kaba, Brad Johnson, Debo Williams, a few others, right? They ultimately need to be that true second line of defense and plug in those holes and not let any of these running backs break free. My second crow to the game for the defense is tackle well. And I don't know, I feel like such an old man saying that, like, you got to tackle well. It's not the sexiest or most thought-provoking crow to the game here, but considering this is the first time this team is playing against a real opponent, it feels necessary to say, right? And last season, I did feel that the tackling was much improved to what we had seen in years prior, noticeably. So I hope to see more of the same. I hope it's not something we have to talk about, but being the first game, being a chance of some crappy weather, you want to tackle well. And ultimately, if you're tackling well, you're probably limiting the big plays. And if we're not allowing the big plays, we're not hurting ourselves, then we're probably going to be in a good position at the end of this thing. You know what I mean? So overall for the game here, this feels like a good opener for the Gamecocks. Feels like a really good week one game if you could draw it up. Yes, it's not a total cupcake. And again, this staff is going to have to prepare and get the mindset of our players accordingly. But if you can handle business against a team like Georgia State, it really knocks the cobwebs out and really shakes off the rust really quickly and gets the team ready maybe a bit more quickly. Again, I've never been in an SEC football program, but you're really ramping up quickly, whereas it's not like you're playing Eastern Illinois and then boom, big, big step up. You're already starting with a little bit of a elevated competition here. You know, but with that said, this is still a Group of Five opponent, and we are at home at night in what could be a sellout crowd in what is certainly an improved team and roster compared to last year's. So we don't have to be world beaters, and we don't have to empty the bag of tricks right away. But if our guys can do their jobs, limit the penalties, and ultimately keep the play in front of them, I really just don't see a ton of reasons why we should end up sweating this one. Last I saw, the line was 12.5 points in favor of Carolina, and to me, that feels about right in the sense of when it's all said and done, South Carolina being up by two scores or so feels like an appropriate margin for this one. And that's really where I see this one going Saturday night. But we are so back. It is incredible. It's going to be rocking. I'm so happy for all of us. So happy for this team. So excited to see where this team is going to go. There may be a couple of hiccups here and there, right? New quarterback, new system, maybe not the best weather. Doesn't have to look perfect. But at the end of the day, when it's that second half, if there's some meaningful drives, meaningful stops you got to get, meaningful conversions, let's see how we do then. And that should be an indication of this team compared to last. But I expect it to be a fun night, and I expect us to be happy at the end of it. So go, Cox. Now, moving on to the six-pack of picks, because we're not the only ones playing, y'all. College football is back. I missed the six-pack of picks. For any new listeners, I do like to watch all of college football. We are a small piece in a very big landscape. And so to keep all y'all up to date with some of the comings and goings of the college football world, I have my six pack of picks. If you are someone who likes to wager, I do one game from the Power Five conferences, so long as there is five of them, and then one game from the Group of Five. So making up a six pack of picks, because six pack is also what you want to have and drink on game day. So starting off here with the ACC, UNC at App State. Give me the over of 56. That game is at noon. In the Big 12, UL Monroe at Texas. I'm going all in on this one. Give me minus 37.5 for Texas. That game is at 8 p.m. Whew, that is a line right there. Pac-12, Rice at Southern Cal. Give me Southern Cal minus 32.5. I think Caleb Williams and Lincoln Riley do not take their foot off the gas. Big Ten, maybe the game of the night, if you're the nation and not us. Notre Dame at Ohio State. Give me over 59. That game is at 7:30. I see it being a bit of a score fest. Could also see me being very wrong on this. For the record, I'm just not really the best at this, but I have my moments. The SEC, give me Cincinnati at Arkansas. Arkansas minus 6.5-point favorites. That game is at 3:30 Eastern. And then the Group of Five, SMU at North Texas, over 68.5, going for 69 points. That would be an absolutely electric game. That is the six pack of picks. And just again, for the record, I do not mix business with pleasure. I don't bet on Carolina. I have the over on over six wins for the season, but that's different. I get stressed enough as it is watching Carolina, so the last thing I need to do is mix in business there. But with that, y'all, that wraps up the first season preview of the year. Oh, it feels good. It feels good to be back. So just for note here, I'm going back to two shows a week after this. The next show will be on Tuesday because I am traveling on Monday, but after that, it will be Mondays and Fridays. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show. And please, wherever you like to listen to the podcast, please like, subscribe, and review. I appreciate all y'all. We are so back. Go Cox.